Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 9, beginning with the second verse. This is our Gospel for today, on this day of the Transfiguration of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, on July 4th, 2003, then-President Bush was scheduled to give a speech at the Air Force Museum at Wright Patch Air Force Base outside of Dayton. It was pretty close to where my parents live. And so on that day, my twin brother and I and my dad made the 11-mile trip down to the Air Force Base, the museum, to hear President Bush speak. Now normally that 11-mile trip would take 15, 20 minutes. On this day, if I remember right, about 3 hours. And then we stood in line. We eventually got in and stood with over 25,000 other people. He was so far away, I can barely even make it out that it was President Bush up there at the podium speaking. Then in line again to get out of the Air Force Base and 3 hours back home. All in all, I figured we probably spent about 8 hours just to hear a 20-minute speech from the president. Why all that time and effort just to see the president? Well, that's what we do, isn't it? That's what we do in our society. We want to see famous people in person. Even in our day and age, when we have almost unlimited access to celebrities and other famous people, we can see them on TV or on the internet. We still love to see them in person. You see people line the streets or cram themselves into small spaces or put themselves through a lot just to see a glimpse of someone famous. Maybe they'll even see us or even shake our hand if we're lucky. Today, we also see a glimpse. Without waiting in line, without having to stand up for 8 hours, we see a glimpse of glory. The glory, the divine glory of our Savior Jesus, and the glory that we will share with Him in heaven forever. 6 days before our text took place, Jesus was telling his disciples about everything that was going to happen to him at his death. Mark tells us he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Peter wasn't going to have any such talk. So he pulled Jesus aside and rebuked Jesus. How dare Jesus talk about how he was going to suffer in death? How horrible his death was going to be? How dare Jesus talk about such things? No one wanted to hear such talk. Well, Jesus in turn rebuked Peter, not privately, but before all of the disciples. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And then, 6 days later, almost a week later, we see Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his closest disciples, up to a high mountain to be alone and pray. Well, that wasn't the only thing that happened on that mountain. Mark tells us, there he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. We are told elsewhere that his face shined. His clothes were as bright as lightning, so bright that they couldn't even look at him. Now Jesus' form changed in front of his disciples. Now as God, as the eternal Son of God, Jesus always had the glory of God. But in his state of humiliation, he chose not to show us all of his divine glory. He chose to keep his glory hidden, to put a veil, a covering over that glory. But today, on the day of transfiguration, he lifted that veil. He opened up that curtain and he gave the disciples, those three disciples, just a glimpse, just a small glimpse of the glory that he enjoys as God. But even when Jesus reveals his glory, he still has to hide himself. Luke, for instance, tells us about how sleepy the disciples were made at that point. They probably weren't completely coherent to guard them from fully realizing Jesus' divine glory. We also read that a cloud came and enveloped them. A cloud in the Old Testament often indicated the presence of the Lord. It also served as a way to hide the glory of the Lord. The disciples were sinners, just like you and I. And Jesus, in his full glory, in his state of perfection, is too great and too glorious. We cannot look upon God in his full glory and live. He is too great and we are too sinful. So even while he revealed himself in order to protect us, he had to hide himself. Now, nowadays, where there's unprecedented access into the lives of celebrities, we know more about famous people than ever before. No, we love to hear stories that make celebrities sound normal. They are just like us. We say there's nothing really special about them. They just are really good at something that makes them famous or really good at something that makes a lot of money. They're just like us. But we can't say that about Jesus. There is no comparing us with him. He's greater. There's no way around it. There's something special about him. Sure, he is a man just like us. But he's not just true man. He's also God. We can't even look at him in his full glory and live. That's how great our Lord is. Jesus gave that glimpse of his glory to Peter, along with James and John. It is something that stuck in Peter's mind the rest of his life. He wrote about it years later as he wrote his second letter. There he says in chapter 1 about Jesus, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for we received honor and glory from God the Father as a voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." But it wasn't just the voice that Peter remembered, but the lesson that Jesus taught him. Now, it was less than a week removed from Peter pulling Jesus aside and rebuking him about talking about his suffering and death. About 6 months from when that fulfillment would take place, would be fulfilled, excuse me, and Jesus would have to suffer and die. Then Peter and the other disciples would see Jesus betrayed and arrested, and mocked and ridiculed and spit upon and beaten, crowned with thorns and flogged. They would see him crucified on a cross. They were there to watch when his lifeless body was removed, wrapped in linen, and laid in a tomb. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was preparing his disciples, giving them comfort and encouragement. As they saw all that took place, they could remember what they saw on top of that mountain. He's not just a human. He's also God. The only reason why all of these things took place is because Almighty God allowed them to happen. They need not worry. Because Jesus is God, glory will follow after His suffering. And that's something that we remember too as we enter into the Lenten season on Wednesday. Even as we focus on the passion of our Lord Jesus, on His suffering and death, we remember well that it is followed by His glory. He rose from the dead, and now in His full glory, He sits on His heavenly throne. Jesus took His disciples up to the mountain alone to pray. But it wasn't just Jesus and three of His disciples alone on that mountain. There are two others with Him. Moses and Elijah. They were there to talk about to Jesus about His suffering and death. Moses, of course, we know was the one to whom God gave the law on Mount Sinai. There on Mount Sinai, Moses talked to God face to face. That law that Jesus was about to fulfill. We read about Elijah in our first lesson for today. Elijah was a prophet. And at the time of Elijah, God used his words to lead many people away from Baal worship back to the one true God. Elijah did not taste death. Remember, we just read how God took him up to heaven in a whirlwind. So here you have Elijah, body and soul, talking with Jesus. Here you have the soul of Moses talking to Jesus. Two regular human beings. They were sinners, just like you and I. And yet talking to Jesus face to face, no need to hide themselves, no need to be afraid, not falling asleep, talking with Jesus. The glory of Christ is our glory too. Just as Moses and Elijah shared in the glory of Christ as they talked with Him on that Mount of Transfiguration, we too both share in that glory, all because of what Christ has done for us. It is through His suffering and death that He paid for our sins, that He removed our sins from us and gave us His perfect life. And as a result, we are considered pure and holy in the eyes of the Lord. His resurrection from the dead is a guarantee that we too will rise from the dead and join Him in heaven forever. So here you have Elijah and Moses, human beings, sharing in God's glory. And we know that we too, like Moses and Elijah, will share in that glory. Paul mentions this in Philippians 3. Says that Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. And because Christ has paid for our sins, because He has given us His perfect life, because we have this glorious life, glorious bodies, we know that we will see and live with Christ in His full glory, as John points out in his first letter. Now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll be with Jesus and share in His glory, and we will see Jesus in His full glory, because He has made us pure and righteous and has removed our sins. When Peter saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus in His divine glory on the top of that mountain, he was ecstatic. So he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 shelters or tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Well, Mark tells us that Peter and the disciples were so afraid, they really didn't know what they were talking about. And really, there's 2 reasons to make shelters. One is for protection from the elements. The other one is possibly for a place to sleep. And as Jesus, as divine, and Moses and Elijah who came down from heaven, there is no need for shelters. You see Peter here, thinking to himself, how great is this? Here's Jesus in his divine glory. Here's Moses and Elijah, 2 heroes of faith, men of renown. How great would it be if they just stayed here for a while? How great it would be if we could just stay in here on top of this mountain. That's what we often do with Jesus. We want to make a heaven on earth type of situation, that Jesus is here to make our lives on earth easier. How great it would be if we could just live on earth, if Jesus would make it so great and glorious for us. But that's not the point of Jesus. The point of Jesus is not to make our lives on earth easier. It is to take us to heaven. The point of Jesus coming down to earth so that he could give us his glory. So you see then, soon after Peter said this, it was over. Suddenly the disciples looked around and Jesus was there alone, looking like a regular human being, not as the Son of God. Moses and Elijah didn't stay. There were no tents built for them. They were gone back up into heaven. Why? Jesus in his full glory, why didn't he remain like that? Because that wasn't part of the plan. Because remaining on top of that mountain in his full glory wouldn't have paid for our sins. He wouldn't have defeated death. So it was necessary for Jesus to go down off of that mountain. It was necessary for Jesus to leave that mountain and to head on over to Jerusalem, to the place of his death, to suffer and die and rise again for us. Peter may have rebuked Jesus for talking about his suffering and death, but hopefully Peter got the message that Jesus had to give up his glory, and that even though he is God, Jesus had to die to pay for our sins and to give us his glory. For suffering is followed by glory, not just for us. I mean, not just for God, but for us as well. Two commands were given in our text. One came from that voice of God. Now, God did say, "This is my Son, whom I love." Those same words God spoke about Jesus on the day of Jesus' baptism. If the disciples didn't fully understand that this transfiguration is an indication that Jesus is God, those words from the Father sure would have. But then there's the command from the Father. Listen to him. The Greek indicates a continuous command, an ongoing command, that we are to listen to Jesus continuously. We might translate, be listening to him, or continually listen to him. Not just given to Peter in the sense, you listen to Jesus when he's talking about his suffering and death, and do not rebuke him. But spoken to all people of all time. Continually, always be listening to Jesus. Continually, always be listening to his word. To read it, to hear it, to study it, to treasure it, and to obey it, to serve the Lord, to show your love and thanks to him by doing what he commands. And then after everything was done and the disciples were going down the mountain, Jesus gave them a curious command, one that he gave from time to time. Do not tell anyone what you have seen and heard until I have risen from the dead. Now imagine if those three disciples would have came back and told the other nine disciples about what Jesus gave them. They would have been jealous. Or what if they would have told people of Israel about what Jesus did, that he is God? Now before he rose from the dead, they might have mocked him and ridiculed him and not believed them. But of course, Jesus has risen from the dead. That prohibition that he gave those disciples of that time no longer stands. In fact, the opposite is true. Now we are told to go out and preach the word throughout the world, to tell them the story of the transfiguration, to tell everyone that Jesus is both true man and true God at the same time, who willingly suffered and died so that we might share in his divine glory. You know, people, they do many crazy things simply to get a glimpse of their favorite celebrity. And afterwards, that celebrity goes on and lives his great and glorious life, and we go back to our ho-hum regular lives, never to share in the glory of that celebrity. Here, on the day of Transfiguration, we see a glimpse of Christ's glory. And the great thing is that we will share in that glory because of Jesus, who gave up that glory when he suffered and died, only to rise victorious in his glory so that we might share in that glory forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.